If you have your Bibles with you, today's scripture reading will come from the book of Romans, chapter 7, starting in verse 13 to 14. The book of Romans, chapter 7, 13 to 14. The scripture reads, "Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not, but sin that it might appear sin was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might not become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin."
Good to see everyone here this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. I am thankful to be amongst brethren and those who love the Lord and those who are striving to do His will. And all of us should have that desire to strive to do the very will of Almighty God. This year we started a theme, and that theme is Arise Out of Sleep and Awake to Righteousness. And on last week, we talked about that for about 25 minutes before we went into the elder ordination, if you will, installation. And when we consider the theme literally means to rise up, to rise out of hypnos, or to rise out of spiritual inactivity. But also to awake to righteousness. The idea there as relates to awaking means to be sober from drunkenness or cloudiness of mind. To righteousness means to uprightness, right living. When we consider today's lesson coming from Romans chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, that particular theme naturally gives or sets up a war of the wills. If anyone has had children, or you at one time, of course, was a child, you know that your child or children have their own desires, their own will, their pleasures, what they think they ought to do. Even as a toddler, little two-year-olds have their own will, and it is the responsibility of the parent to nurture and guide that will, sometimes to even break that will. When we consider the war of the wills, I'm not talking about will or desires from man to man, as James chapter 4 sets up. I'm not talking about man's will against the will of government, as Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 and following talks about. But I'm talking about man's will, or the Christian's will, against the will of God. What do I mean by that? When we consider the war of the wills, on Wednesday night we discussed the very will of God. We talked about how God's will literally means His purposes, His desires, His wishes for mankind. And the reason why we talked about that is because God's will is for all men to be saved. God's will is for all men to have the or live the abundant life. John 10 and verse 10. So on Wednesday, we talked about how God's will was designed to be accomplished on the earth. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 10, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We know for a fact that the will of God can be done. Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 10 that those who do the will of His Father are His brother, His sister, His mother and father, or His mother, I'm sorry. That's Matthew, Mark chapter 3 and verse number 35. When we consider the will of God, it can be understood, Ephesians 5 and verse 17. But the only way that we can know the will of God is not by the trees that we see, it's not by the fish that we catch, it's not by the things that we hunt, but it's by the word of God. John 7 and verse 17. I said all that to say this is because God's will is a good will. Paul would say in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, that it is good, it is acceptable, it is perfect. His desires, his pleasures, what he wants for mankind is for our good. You know, one of the hardest things for mankind to really accept is that what God says in his word is for his good. Because we argue against it, we fight against it. And when we get to Romans chapter 7, you'll see something as it relates to the Apostle Paul and some of the things that he dealt with even under the law to Moses. But God's will, it promotes sanctification. Hebrews 10 and verse number 10, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 3. It teaches us that if we just endure, if we just hang in there and hold on and be patient, that God will give us the promise of life. Hebrews 10 and verse 36. But also the will of God gives us confidence. 1 John 2 and verse number 17. So the question we have to ask ourselves before we get into our lesson is, why do so many stand opposed to the will of God? When God's will is designed to do good unto us, to help us, to motivate us, to encourage us. Why is man's will against the will of God? When we consider Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches us that Jesus always did the will of God. John 8 and verse 29. Jesus never fought against God's will. He always accepted the will of God. He always performed the will of God. He always taught the will of God. Never taught his own will. Even in the garden, under immense pressure, stress, if you will. Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 42. Here he says, thy will be done. Can you imagine what he was going through? And he still says, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. Let me have your ear, please. Please, let me just listen to what I have to say. Because in listening, you'll understand that the will of God is perfect, it's good, it's acceptable. It's what's best for me, even if I got to dig real deep in order to do it. Yet the will of God, Jesus, the will of God eliminates three things. Yet they all say the same thing. It eliminates selfishness, Philippians 2, 1 through 4. It eliminates self-will, Titus 1 and verse 7. And it eliminates self-seeking, James 3 and verse 16. You consider the will of God, and the will of God actually teaches us to eliminate those things in our lives. And when we consider, what does man really fight with today? Selfishness. What I want. What I deem is right. So when we consider the very theme for this year, you'll be hearing this all year, arise out of sleep. Awake to righteousness. Meaning that it's not about what I desire, but it's about what God wants. The Hebrews writer would state that Jesus said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Hebrews 10, verse 7 and 9. Friends, when we understand this and we put this into practice, it will help us to be the people that God desires for us to be. However, the Apostle Paul, before the law of Christ, did you hear that? Before the law of Christ, struggled with the law of Moses. Yet the Bible demonstrates to us that Paul was born under the law, and at one time he was sinless under the law. Romans 7 and verse number 9. Turn your Bibles there. I want you to see this in Romans 7 and verse number 9. This is in line with Galatians 4 and verse number 4. At the right time, at the appointed time, if you will, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. Here we find Paul as he is talking to the Roman brethren here. And he said, at one time, me, myself, had not sinned under the law. In Romans 7 and verse number 9, notice what your Bible there says. Romans 7 and verse number 9. I was alive once, He's talking about being spiritually alive without the law or outside of the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. In essence, when he came to the knowledge of what the law required of him as a person, and he failed to meet the standard that God had given to all Jews at that particular time, he sinned against God. Hence, the reason why he would say in Romans 7 and verse number 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And then he goes into Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1, as he says, "I thank God," he brings up Jesus. He brings up the anointed one. He brings up the Christ. He brings up the one who had never failed the law of Moses. No wonder he would say, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh." When we stop and we consider this and we think about some of the things that we deal with, the will that we have, the desires that we have, friends, I want to encourage us to be a people who understand that the will of God is what's best for me. It's what's best for my neighbor. It's what's best for those who are outside of Christ. Why? Because it is the only will that we have from Almighty God. Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, Brother Stephen, as you are studying this, you'll see that the book of Hebrews demonstrates to us that we are no longer, and when I say we, I'm talking about mankind, humankind, are no longer under the law to Moses. We're under the law to Christ. Now, this is a rather long reading, but it will benefit us when we get to Romans chapter 7. In Hebrews chapter 10, in verse number 1, there are those even in the world in which we live in, yea, even in Angelo, who believe that we're still to keep the law to Moses. Here we understand that when you consider the law of sacrificing bulls and goats, turtle doves and so forth and so on, they were associated, yea, directly associated with the law to Moses. Here we see in Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse number 1, "For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect," meaning sinless, coming before God absolutely free of sin. "For then why would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshiper, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin every year." Every year, the Jew knew that their sins were going to be reminded, and they had to go offer this sacrifice, and then their sins would, if I can say it this way, be rolled forward, even though that phraseology is not in the Bible, that's the idea. But then notice in verse number 4, "For it is not possible," listen to this, friends, "that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came," talking about Jesus, "into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God.'" Jesus came to do the will of God. We should also do the will of God. Notice what he says in verse number 8. "Previously saying, sacrificing and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them." Notice this verse right here. I have asterisk in my Bible right here. "Which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first, that's the first covenant, that he may establish the second. The second covenant is the covenant of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 20 and 21. Galatians 6 and verse number 2. "By that will." Friends, did you see that? By that will, by that desire, by that pleasure of God. By God's pleasure, not man's pleasure. By God's will, not man's will. Notice, "by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Friends, did you get that, brothers and sisters in Christ? that the will of God sanctifies us through the body of Jesus Christ, that when Jesus died on that cross, he sanctified people forever if they would just obey him. Which tells us, going back to Romans chapter 7, that what Paul was going through under the law to Moses was hard on him. It was hard on all those Jews. But you know, you consider the law of Christ. The law of Christ is a standard for all mankind. And Brother Bill, this is why when we go out and we teach people the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're teaching them one law. We're teaching them that there's only one lawgiver. We're teaching them that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that we're not to listen to Moses, but now we're listening to Jesus Christ. He's the author. He's the perfecter of the faith of those who trust in him. When we consider that, sin was a problem for the Apostle Paul. And make no mistake about it, that's what Paul is talking about. Here's a man that is struggling under the law of Moses, struggling with sin, and he could do nothing about it until Jesus Christ. The Jew could do nothing about their sin until the Christ came. And no wonder, again, Galatians 4 and verse number 4, mark this down, friends. Add this to your memory bank. At the right time, God sent Jesus Christ, born of a woman, born under the law. Here it is, to redeem, to buy those back who were under the law. Oh, man had no chance without Jesus Christ. And so when we consider our will versus the will of God, we have to submit our will to his will. That whatever Jesus says goes. Whatever the apostles' doctrine says, it goes. And because of that, friends, we have law. In Romans chapter 4 and verse number 15, we understand that where there is no law, there is no transgression. Which means that you cannot sin unless a law tells you what you ought to be doing as a child of God, as a Christian. And no wonder 1 John 3 and verse number 4, where the Bible demonstrates to us that sin is transgression of God's law. Now, I said all of that to say this right now. The very fact that we're under the law to Christ, that we're under the will of God, the will of Christ, we have to make up our minds as New Testament Christians that we're going to follow Christ's will, not man's will, but Christ's will, God's will, his pleasures, his desires, his purposes. And one of the things that we see in our world today, and it has crept into the church many years before now, so we can't blame it on this generation, but here we understand what has crept into the Lord's people is that you can do what God says and you can do what you say too. Friends, we have to arise out of sleep. We have to arise out of hypnosis. We have to arise out of spiritual inactivity, and we have to awake unto righteousness. That means that we do what Jesus says. We do what the apostles have said. And those who follow Christ, those are the ones in whom we follow. The apostle Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 11 in verse number 1, be ye followers of me, or follow me even as I follow Christ. That's Ephesians 5 verse 1. So we stop and we consider some of these things, friends. God wants us as Christians to fight this internal war that we have sometimes. And just as the apostle Paul was struggling within himself, notice again, Romans chapter 7. And let's start at verse number 10. Romans 7 and verse number 10. I won't keep you long. He says, and the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taken occasion by the commandment, deceived me. And notice what it did. It slew him. It killed him. But notice something about the law, friends. I've heard on many occasions that the law, there was something wrong with the law. The law was bad. Well, the only thing that was wrong with the law, it could not bring forth the forgiveness of sins because that element wasn't in it. That was the only thing wrong with the law of Moses. Other than that, it was to a tutor to bring them to Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 24. But notice what he says in verse number 12. Therefore, the law, talking about the law of Moses, is holy. and the commandment, holy and just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Of course not. Of course not. Friends, we can say the same thing about the law of Christ. That the law of Christ is not here to destroy us. The law of Christ has been given to us to help us live. Amen. And so many, even in our number, I'm talking about the Church of Christ, won't even read the law of Christ that they may live. Oh, I've thought about this. It is sad when we read about the lives of other people, male or female, more than we read about the life of the one who died for us. Oh, if we could just scroll down the Bible and read the Bible. But I would rather scroll and read about the life of somebody who's doing absolutely nothing for the cause of Christ. Friends, let's be careful. Let's spend time with the one who died for us. Let's spend time with the one who sent his only begotten son. Let's spend time with the power of God, which is the Holy Spirit who sent forth his word. Here, the Apostle Paul understood this. And friends, I truly believe that sometimes it's just easier to read about the lives of men rather than the life of the man, Christ Jesus. Because the man, Christ Jesus, is a mirror. The man, Christ Jesus, is the standard. And just perhaps his will might not coincide with my will, which it should be the reverse. That my will ought to coincide with his will. My will ought to be his will. And just as Jesus would say, thy will be done, our purpose, our desires, our pleasures ought to be, Lord, whatever you would have me to do, I'll do it. And no wonder we're just conduits. No wonder we're just vessels. No wonder we're just men and women who love God, and wherever God desires for us to go, that's where we'll go. Wherever God desires for us to do, that's what we'll do. And whatever God desires for us to say, that's what we will say. So here, notice what he says in Romans 7. That baby's saying amen. I appreciate that. Notice what he says in verse number 13. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me, though through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Notice this. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, what I desire to do, what I purpose to do. Notice what he says. That I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Friends, we ought to hate sin so much that when we do it, it bothers us. Boy, it ought to bother us when we see things that are sinful. It ought to bother us when we see immodesty. It ought to bother us when we see individuals living lifestyles that are contrary to the will of God on television. It ought to bother us when we're listening to things that are contrary to the very mind of God and the word of God. Question, is my will God's will? Is there a war against the will? False doctrine ought to bother us. False churches ought to bother us. And friends, because of that, because sometimes it doesn't bother us, we have to ask ourselves, are we doing the will of God? That internal problem that's going on, even in the mind of the Apostle Paul, sometimes goes on in our own minds. I want to do what's right, but I find myself doing that which is wrong. I want to treat my spouse better. I want to treat my children better. I want to treat my brethren better. I want to do that, but sometimes I just can't muster up the strength to do it. Read the word of God more and submit your will to the very will of God. I want to get off drugs. I want to get off alcohol. I want to leave tobacco products alone. Oh, I'm preaching up in here. I just don't have the strength to do it. And you need to find a good brother or a sister and to hold you accountable, that you can be pure and holy before God, that people can see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I want to be a person that is good in the community, that people can see my life and say, I want to follow him wherever he's going. Where are you going? I'm going to the Ninth and Main Church of Christ. And the Ninth and Main Church of Christ is going to heaven. Do you want to follow us? The Bible is right. And notice what he says in verse number 19 as we hurry to our close. For the good that I will to do, I do not. But the evil I will not to do. He says, I don't want to do the evil. And I find myself practicing that. Answer that to yourself. Do you find yourself there? Is there a war of the wills? God's will, his standard for our lives and what he desires for us. Friends, you're not alone. All of us are in that boat every now and then. But the difference between those who are humble, Proverbs 9 and verse number 8, and who receive chastisement, and the difference of those who are rebuked but they don't receive the chastisement are those who continue in sin. And Paul would say, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, no. And notice what he goes on to say in verse 20. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it's no longer I who do it. Listen to this. Look at your Bible. And notice the seriousness of this verse. But sin that dwells in me. Because one, Brother Rick Popejoy, has given themselves over to sin, sin now takes over. He's not saying that, okay, like Flip Wilson used to say back in the day, the devil made me do it. That's a lie. You know how many people took that hook, line, and sinker? The devil made me do it. No, God made us free moral agents. We make decisions. So it's the war of the wills. So my question is this. When will I allow the Bible to be my pleasure? When will I allow the Word of God to formulate and cultivate my desires? Today. Why? Because the Apostle Paul would say, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. So when we stop and we consider these things, we want to be a people who understand that because I want to be a partaker of the divine nature of God, my will has to coincide with his will. And when someone who loves you, friend, please listen to this. When someone who loves you comes to you and says, this lifestyle that you're living is not according to the will of God. Maybe we ought to state it that way. Be humble enough to say, let me think about that. Be humble enough to say, if this is not the will of God, let me depart from it right now as we speak. Let me go in the way of Jehovah. So when we stop and we consider, if I do God's will, what do I have waiting for me? Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1 as we come to our close. 2 Peter chapter 1. And friends, we have to teach our children the will of God, that his will supersedes our will. That it's about doing what God desires. And not allowing the outside influences of this world to take over. In 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse number 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen to this. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, this is the vehicle through the knowledge. John 7:17, you can't know the will of God unless you got knowledge, unless you know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us, listen to this, exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Here it is, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Peter, what are you saying? That our will has been conformed, our will has been transformed by the renewing of our mind through the word of God, and now we have come and came out of the world through lust, and now we're on our way to heaven. We're on our way to glory. So therefore, 1 Peter 2 in verse number 11, 1 Peter 2 in verse number 11, friends, this is a memory verse. This is a memory verse right here, 1 Peter 2 and verse number 11. Beloved, I beg you, oh, we need more preachers in the pulpit begging members to do God's will. But we need more members accepting the begging. Please do the will of God. He says, I beg you as sojourners, meaning you don't live here, pilgrims passing through, abstain from fleshly lust, which war, there's our idea, against the soul. Question, what's warring against your soul this morning? What are some of the wars of the will that you have this morning? And friends, there is a war against the will. For some, the war against the will is seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This was said to me a few weeks ago, and I thought it was pretty interesting. That when you're hunting, you have one gun, one bullet, one target. And you're trying to shoot that target. And that one bullet is usually going to hit that one thing. Oh, but the gun and the bullet of God is different. Because when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, there's your gun and bullet. Everything else gets knocked down. Y'all listen to me. Mark, you hearing me? A lot of times what we try to do, we try to go do our own thing, using our own bullets, when we ought to use the gun and bullets of God and seek first the kingdom of God and watch everything else fall in place. You seeking God first, you'll find the right person. You seeking God first, you'll find the right church. You seeking God first, you'll find the right job. You seek God first, you'll find the right friends. You seek God first, you'll find the right everything. Question, what war are you fighting? I tell you, there's a war. There's a war in the home. We have husbands not being spiritual leaders in a secular world. We have wives not being respectful in this unrespectful world. We have women who are allowing the world to raise their children instead of them doing it. Friends, we gotta wake up. Don't be surprised if your children come home with all manners of language in their mind and saying things that they shouldn't say if we're not teaching our children. Amen. Husbands, pay attention to your wives. If not, some other man will. And in these days and times, some other woman will. Wives, pay attention to your husbands, because if not, same thing. A war of the wills. I had a man tell me just the other day at the gym. He said, Mike, I've made a lot of money, and I've done a lot of good things in this life. But if I could do it all over again, listen to this, he's not a Christian, I would have spent more time with my wife and children. Perhaps I would still have them. But I was always trying to please someone else, going after that dollar, and I lost it. Friends, that's real life. When a non-Christian can say that, I think the Christian ought to wake up and hear that. The church must arise out of sleep and awake to righteousness. Leaders must lead from the front. When I was a teenager, I had a 1986 Pontiac Fiero. The engine was in the back. It was strange when I had it. It's still strange when I think about it. The engine ought to be up front because that's what's driving this thing. You know one thing I love about Jesus? He's up front. He's not leading from the back. As elders, we have to lead from the front. People ought to hear what we have to say. Why? Because you're leaders. This is not optional. This is not up for discussion. We are examples to the flock. We preach to the flock. We help the flock. Preachers must preach the word. Be example to the believers. Why? Because in doing that, we also demonstrate to them that we have submitted our will to the will of God, and we want you to follow us because this is how it's done. No wonder the father in the home must be that example to the children. The mother in the home ought to be examples to the children. And when you mess it up, just say, I'm sorry, and bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. So, I said all that to say this. Is there a war of the wills? You better believe it is. Older generation, we need you. We need the older generation to be exactly what God wants them to be, helping the younger generation. Oh, we have enough people bringing us down. We need you to lift us up. That's important. And be patient and long-suffering and kind and merciful. And younger generation, listen to them. Go visit them. Learn something from them. I believe sometimes we're so busy that we can't even help ourselves. Instead of working 75, 80 hours a week, 45, 50 hours a week, drop it down and go see somebody. Why? Because you just might help somebody with their will to get closer to the will of God. Maybe you're not a child of God. We want you to submit to the will of God. You know, it's God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There's some of y'all frowning, look mad. That's fine. It's okay. You'll be all right. God's will is still his will. And we have to do it. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to be a Christian because those who are in the will of God will be saved. Those who are outside the will of God will be lost. We want men and women to be saved. How? Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And God will do an amazing thing. He will wash away all of your sins in the blood of Christ. Amen. He will add you to the church of Christ. He will set you on your way to glory, to heaven. And the only thing you have to do is be thou faithful even to the point of death. And he says, I'll give you the crown of life. Maybe a child of God and well, you want to do the will of God, but you've been struggling. That's fine. We would rather struggle in the will than to struggle outside of the will. I'd rather struggle as a married man than not. I would rather struggle with a job than without a job. I'd rather struggle with my brethren than without my brethren. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.